This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Mark Haney. The Greater Cincinnati Waterworks recently celebrated its 200th anniversary. Certainly much has changed in the way water is treated and delivered to area residents during that time. Joining us to discuss the Cincinnati Waterworks and her role is Director Kathy Bailey, who's been in charge of the agency since September of 2015. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Later in the hour, we'll discuss the concerns about the recent Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why. But for now, we're going to talk about the Greater Cincinnati Waterworks. Director Kathy Bailey, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
And I am at City Hall all the time. You've done lots of presentations to council committees. And there was one committee that I was fascinated that I think it was Chairman Christopher Smitherman that pointed out that you've spent your whole career at Waterworks. You started in sort of an entry-level job, and you're now the director of Waterworks. So tell me how you started at Waterworks and how you got to be in charge.
Sure. Right out of college, I did a couple years at USEPA in Clifton, and we had a cooperative agreement with the city of Cincinnati, the water department, to test some water samples for some parasites. I was actually the person at USEPA doing that testing. One day, heard about a job with the water utility here in the city, applied, and I've been there for 25 years. Started as a chemist in the granular activated carbon treatment facility when that came online in 92, and I've had a number of positions throughout the 25 years. I, at one point, was the service desk manager. It's when we started to centralize our IT systems.
And that's where folks would call in if they have a problem or an issue?
They would call in, and we'd take all of their issues and then dispatch about five or six people throughout the department to help them on a regular basis. I also was the strategic planning manager, where we started in 1996 doing strategic plans. And so I managed that whole process on how we developed it, how we actually executed the plan. That was really helpful, and I think it was a huge turning point for us because it helped us start to function more as a business when we started to expand out to different areas in the city. So I led a number of those efforts. Also did a lot with performance metrics and performance management. Through the joint utility years, I was the transition manager.
And that's where the administrative functions of the Waterworks and the Metropolitan Sewer District were combined for a couple of few years.
Yes, about 3.5 years. And by far, that was probably my most challenging job. And so then, once we came out of the joint utility, I was the interim director and now the permanent director. So 25 years, all with the utility.
Did you ever think that you would be director of Waterworks? Did you have your eye on that as a goal, or did it just kind of happen?
It just kind of happened. I think probably besides the chemist job, most of the roles that I've had at Water just happened. I didn't have my eye on being that IT service desk manager. I didn't have my eye on being the strategic planning manager. They just happened. I think for me, I've always embraced change. I like change, look at it as a huge opportunity to learn and grow, do things differently. And so each time with each one of those different job changes, I just went with it and made the most of it. But never did I think one day, you know, I'm going to be that director for the utility.
Do you have more insight being in, since you've been at Waterworks your whole career? I mean, directors in city departments can kind of come and go. I know Gerald Checo is now the Metropolitan Sewer District Director, used to be with Public Services.
Correct.
I think a predecessor before you, David Reger, mm-hmm. Used to be the city's safety director, and I think one time briefly served as acting city manager. So they came in from other departments to Waterworks, but you've been there for 25 years. Does that give you a little bit of a head start on running the Waterworks because you've been there and you kind of know the issues where maybe they would have to learn?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely allows me to bring my history and certainly understand the changes that we've seen over the years, recognize that we're going to see plenty more, but it gives me that understanding of where we were, where we are now, and certainly with some of the challenges that the water utility industry is facing, it gives me that insight into where we might be going.
Why is Cincinnati, it seems like we've done a number, I think we did a series a few years ago with WCPO on water technology, and it seems like Cincinnati is a leader when it comes to water technology. So why here? Why is Cincinnati that leader?
We've always been a hub for being a leader just in the water utility industry. With US EPA and the water research divisions here, with the federal government, with our utility being very progressive, being innovative, very creative, we're here. We have a number of partnerships with people here, or Sanco, who helps us understand the water quality of the Ohio River. They're here right next to us out on Kellogg Avenue. So it's just a hub. In fact, often referred to as a water cluster, because we have so many partners in the industry here, and it helps us tremendously.
When we talk about being a leader, I think, and I think these are correct, if you were not the first, one of the first to use, as you talked about, the granular activated carbon filtration, which basically the water filters through beds of carbon. I think Mr. Reger pointed out when he was in charge, you were one of the first to use UV radiation for a disinfectant. Am I correct on both of those?
You're correct on both of those. In 1992, when our GAC facility came online, it was unheard of, you know, to have such a large facility following sand filter, rapid sand filtration. And we've continued with that. We left GAC, recognized we needed to add other processes, and so we added UV as well. But we are well known, not only in this country, but internationally, for the treatment processes that we have and how we manage those.
How safe is Cincinnati's water?
Oh, extremely safe. We are always in compliance with various regulations that you might imagine we have and we face every day. But we meet all of our regulations. We exceed them in many cases. But we are extremely safe with our water.
What tell me where you serve. Everybody at Greater Cincinnati Water Works, obviously you serve the city of Cincinnati, but the water doesn't stop at the Cincinnati Corporation lines.
No, it does not. We serve neighboring counties. So we go to Butler County, Warren County. We actually take water through a pipe under the Ohio River to northern Kentucky. So we go to Boone, we go to Florence, in those areas. But we serve about 1.1 million residents through 241,000 customer accounts in the area.
And those places, now some of those places are buying water wholesale from you.
Wholesale.
How many places do you actually distribute to? The city and Hamilton County, I know.
Yes.
Just those?
We have, it's not really necessarily the number of places, but about 25% of our revenue comes from wholesale accounts. And so that's a big chunk of money for us. And we're excited to be able to actually do that. You talked about Dave Reger before, but under his leadership, had we not been able to follow his direction and serve those areas, then we would be certainly looking at some huge declines in revenue, because we now recognize and have known for a while people are not using water the way they used to.
Is that because of the more efficient appliances? I know, and then there's also the manufacturing base that used a lot of water doesn't exist like it used to.
It's a couple things. As you mentioned, you know, the commercial, the industrial accounts, we don't have those industries like we used to in the area, but also the high efficiency appliances, and more households in our areas are installing those. Plus, we recognize and are aware that with our sewer department having the consent decree, when people see that bill, it's water, sewer, and stormwater. But for them, they just think it's water. And so when they see that large total, they recognize and believe, hey, I need to reduce my water, you know, so they're not using water like they used to. And so all those things coupled together really just speak to the decline in consumption.
I know this comes up, and we're getting ready to go into budget season at Cincinnati City Hall, but when we talk about water rates, and people will say, well, gosh, if you're treating, people are using less water, that means you're treating less water. So shouldn't your expenses go down because you're not treating as much water as you used to?
Not the case at all. For us, we have to still maintain the infrastructure to, you know, those pipes in the ground to get the water to all the communities we serve. We have to maintain the tanks, the reservoirs, all the treatment processes and practices that we have at our plant on Kellogg Avenue, as well as our northern plant, Bolton plant. we have to maintain that infrastructure. And as much as people are using less water, we still have to maintain that infrastructure so we can make sure that the water is delivered in a safe manner.
And I think, I don't know if this has happened yet, are you still trying to switch from quarterly billing to monthly billing?
We are. We recognize that, you know, our customers can handle a monthly cell phone bill, a monthly, you know, cable bill of something of that nature. And for years, we've talked about it. We do a UC survey every 2 years, and we recognize and have reviewed the data from that survey. More and more of our customers want monthly billing, and so we are in the process of switching from quarterly to monthly, and we expect that to happen January, February of 2018.
And I know that that has like a year-long process, and so, and the simple, well, it's like, well, if you're doing it quarterly, why can't you just switch to send out a bill each month? Why does it take a year to do that?
Right. It takes a long time to do that, but you're right. Everyone says that. Can't you just flip a switch? Not the case. But we actually handle trash billing and different services for many small areas around us, you know, Arlington Heights, Lachlan, different places like that. We might actually have some type of service that we collect their billing services. We handle their billing services for them. So we have over 130 different rate scenarios.
Oh my
and
gosh.
By that, I mean, you know, a customer that has water service plus sewer, and then a customer that has water, sewer, stormwater, a customer that has water, sewer, and trash collection, you know, just different combinations. And so we need to test all of those. We need to configure the system. We need to look at how we do our meter reading, you know, because right now we actually read most meters on a monthly basis. But if we're going to monthly, we have to make sure we're reading all meters on a monthly basis. And so we need to look at our meter reading cycles, different things and processes that we have. Of what we need to look at are billing adjustments. It's going to be difficult for us to quickly do billing adjustments if we normally have done them within a quarterly time frame. Now we need to quickly turn that around in monthly. So what processes have we looked at and what do we need to change to go to monthly? And that's kind of where we are now. We're doing all of that.
I'm talking today with Greater Cincinnati Water Works Director Kathy Bailey, and we'll continue our conversation and include your calls in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Mark Haney. Coming up later in the hour, we'll be discussing concerns about the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. Right now, we're talking with Greater Cincinnati Water Works Director Kathy Bailey. You can join our conversation. The phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. And let's talk to Sean in Clifton. Sean, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Kathy, thank you for being on there today. I love hearing the story, and I loved reading your biography on the VXU website. Quick question. I work with the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative, and we work with young girls all the time trying to encourage more young women to go into STEM careers just like you have. Do you have opportunities at Cincinnati Water Works where kids can explore what your career is like and careers like yours and how you came through the ranks, et cetera? Or are there opportunities for young people to get involved?
Thanks for your question. My degree is in chemistry, and so I'm certainly always looking for more young women to go into chemistry. We don't have enough women in that field. But we are in the process of developing a program. Right now, we're referring to it as a Citizen Water Academy, but we think we're going to have a junior version of that. And it's really part of our outreach efforts so that we can bring some people in so that they can start to understand what we do in more detail, how we treat the water, why we do certain things, why we need to do and, you know, and ask for rate increases on a regular basis, all those different parts of what we do and what's part of our business. We want to kind of take that program out and get more people interested in it. So I think it's safe to say, you know, probably this time next year, we will have both of those, the adult version as well as the junior version, available, because it's important for us. We are struggling to find more people who are interested in the water utility industry. You know, when you're in high school, no one's asking or no one's saying, I want to go work at the water utility. They certainly want to be a doctor and an engineer and an artist, various versions of that. But no one's raising their hand and saying, I want to be an engineer at the water utility industry, or I want to be that maintenance worker that goes out and fix the water mains when they break. And so we really recognize in the entire industry that we need to then go out and have more outreach to explain what we do and why we need more people to be interested in our field. So that's one of the ways that we think we can address it. Right now we have co-ops and interns that come in with us on a regular basis, but we think we need to start much earlier than that and partner with our Cincinnati Public Schools and other schools in the area for the academy.
You've been there 25 years, and I know a lot of folks, you know, 30 years, I think, is close to, you know, when folks can retire. Are you facing that problem like police and fire or, you know, a lot of people are retiring? Do you have that same situation with the waterworks where you, I mean, coming up, you could have problems filling positions because people are just retiring and are not going to be there?
Yeah, we have that problem now, you know, where we're often, you know, we're asking every year during the budget season, you know, who's planning to leave, you know.
And that, really, they don't have to tell you.
They don't have to tell us, but we do have a good rapport, you know, and can certainly ask those questions and get those answers that we need. But no, they're not required to tell us. But it helps us, you know, try to plan a little better. But we're having that problem. We've been having that problem for quite a while. You know, plant operators leave. Where's the next group of plant operators? We don't have those options like we used to have in the future, in the past.
Let's talk to Patrick in Madisonville, and he will transition us into a big topic that we need to talk about. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm calling about, I'm more than happy with what you guys have done for me in Madisonville with my high lead that I have. You're the ones that actually helped me find out that I have high lead. I'm just wondering what the city of Cincinnati is doing as far as to move forward to support those of us who have high lead in our water and then those of us in possibly all of Cincinnati that could be affected and Madisonville.
Yes, yeah, so I'm glad we, number one, were able to help you. We're certainly trying to help everyone in our area. We know that we have about 15,000 lead service lines still left in our 52 neighborhoods.
And before we go with lead service lines, now those, we want to make sure that people understand, those are lines that go from the transmission lines in the street to your house.
Correct. The water mains down the street were never lead, but those smaller lead service lines or service lines coming off of the water main, some of those, about 15,000 still exist in the city of Cincinnati.
And when you say 15,000, those are the ones that are public from the to the kind of like the property line, correct?
So those are entire lines, public and private side. We do then believe we probably have about 13,000 private only left because we have removed the public portion of those. So a difference there because of the ownership. But we are in the process of trying to basically operationalize what council approved for us in October. Council approved for us to move forward and use our capital funding to remove the entire lead service line, meaning the public and private side. And once we do that, they also approved us to then put a property assessment on the property for either 5 or 10 years to reimburse us for the private side. And then they also approved us to have a customer assistance program to help customers with that. So we have been in the process since October trying to figure out different ways we can do that. We have concerns with will people want to do it? You know, because if it costs the homeowner, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, well, $4,000 or $5,000 over 5 or 10 years is still going to be a nice chunk of change for somebody to pay, you know, through a property assessment. And so we've been looking at different programs. We haven't found anything across the number of water utilities that we talk to on a regular basis, because we at this point are at the leading edge of what we're trying to do.
Leading edge again in water, you know, technology.
And so we haven't found any model to follow, but we think we're pretty close to basically saying We can certainly take out the entire line, as we stated, but we think we might have come up with maybe some incentive programs or something of that nature to help customers get these lines out. And that's kind of where we are.
Because you're concerned of doing both, it made no sense to replace the public portion and not replace the private portion on the owner's property, because you took your part out, but you still have the problem is still there.
Correct. Correct. And it just doesn't make sense for us. And we also recognize, you know, if we're going to spend all this money, can we spend all this money in a way that we're helping both sides?
And this is a multi-year program, I think.
15 years. Yeah, 15 years.
And you've been doing some testing. You've offered to send kits out to folks. And tell us how the numbers that, I mean, you're testing it. And there were some that were coming back with concern levels, but for the number that you were testing, it didn't seem like a whole lot.
No. If I remember the numbers correctly, we've tested close to about 4,300 individual homes throughout the city of Cincinnati. And of those 4,300, about 83 of the samples have been greater than 15 parts per billion. Once we find someone greater than that federal action level, then we call the customer immediately. We have a conversation about what's happening in the home. We actually send a faucet filter for them to use as a short-term solution to put on their kitchen sink until they can either save or participate in our program once it's established to remove the lead service line.
And, of course, this all got a lot of attention after what happened in Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think you talked about this to a committee. Part of that was the treatment. The lack of treatment that caused the lead to leach, basically the water to leach the lead out of the lines.
Yes.
And you cover that here in Cincinnati.
Yes. We have a corrosion control treatment practice that's here. And it was something that when Flint, when the utility submitted their operating process to the state to approve it, it was an oversight. No one noticed that they didn't have their corrosion control practice identified as one of their treatment practices. And so they approved them to move forward. And they moved forward without the corrosion control practice.
Let's get to Herb real quickly, who was calling in Walnut Hills. Herb, go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering if you have fluoride in the water to prevent dental decay.
Yes, we do actually have fluoride in the water. We're required by regulations to have the fluoride in the water.
We, as usually happens, time goes quickly. We have just about a minute here. What's next? What's maybe on the horizon for the water industry here in Cincinnati?
For the water industry, you know, we're at a turning point, I think, where many utilities are trying to figure out what we look like in the future. And I think for us, and I think for many utilities, we're a different type of utility. We're more focused in the community, trying to come out and help our customers understand what we do and why we do it. Where before, we were pretty much like our infrastructure. It was out of sight, out of mind. And we have a different approach where we want to come out.
So more engagement.
Yes, more engagement. Be more part of the community. Why not? I mean, we're something that everyone uses every day. And so why not be out in the community more and be a part of it?
Well, we thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about the Greater Cincinnati Water Works and water issues with Director Kathy Bailey. Coming up next, a discussion about the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.